We're going to talk about grace. Let's see when she gets it out. It says, grace, the free and unmerited favor of Yahweh, as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. Grace, more than we deserve, greater than we imagine. And I put it in this little definition. It says, grace, his decision to ravage a people by love, to rescue passionately, and to restore justly. You know, and as I was going, I mean, just throughout the whole Bible, you know, starting from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you can just see his grace over and over and over and over. And, you know, as I was, you know, going through it this evening, you know, I was just thinking about Pharaoh, how just after plague, after plague, after plague, and it was just his grace, you know, just giving him a warning over and over and over until destruction hit, until he finally just, he took his son from him. You know, and I was just thinking, you know, I just thanked him that throughout my life, there were so many times that there was warnings and warnings, and his grace was just upon me. You know, I just thank him that I came to my senses before destruction really, really hit me. You know, it just would have been a tragedy. Thank God it didn't have to come down to that, to a tragedy that happened before I decided to come back to him and just to do whatever he asks me to do. And this is just a little thing right here that I ran across. I was trying to line it up. I couldn't, not too good with this yet. But if you look at how it spells grace, it says God's riches at Christ's expense. It says grace is a description of the character of Yahweh, which is displayed by his gift to men. God is a God of grace, and his desire is to make this known not only to men, but also to the angelic hosts. And we're going to read in Ephesians 1, 5 through 12, and 2, 1 through 10. Ephesians 1, 5 through 12, and 2, 1 through 10. Ephesians 1, 5. 6 and 7. It says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. 8, 9, and 10. It says, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with the view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth in him. 11 and 12. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too are formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. You know, I could remember being there at a time in my life, indulging in the desires of my flesh. You know, when I read verse 4 and it said, "But God," I could tell you, I remember that "But God" moment. And it's so amazing. And I thank him every day. Five through seven, it says, "Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the age to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." This attribute of Yahweh has always been a part of Yahweh's character, since he is immutable and changeless. Immutable is unchangeable. Yahweh does not change. God doesn't change. In Nehemiah 9:17, it says, "They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds, which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassion, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them." You know, he's talking about Israel right here. When he brought them out, took them from Pharaoh, parted the Red Sea for them. You know, and they still was in their wicked ways. Oh, I got a duplicate. Go to 18 now. One more sister. "But he," Psalm 78:38, "but he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath." I thank God that he did not destroy me. You know, even when I guess you can say he had every right to if he wanted to, you know, because no doubt the enemy did. No doubt the enemy wanted to destroy me. That was his plan from the beginning to do it. But I thank God for that "But God" moment. He's so good. James 1:17, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Saving grace is that generous provision of salvation on the cross of Calvary. I thank God for the cross. You know, for his son who said, "Not my will, but thy will." You know, who just all the agony, all the stress, you know, that he went through it and he bore it. for us. Salvation comes by grace. Romans 5:15. It says, but the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many die, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Christ Jesus, abound to the many. Ephesians 1:5-6. It says, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of ourselves. It is the gift of God. What a gift. I thank God for that gift. That gift that just keeps on giving. And I just put this one in here, but we're going to read from 2 Timothy 1:8-10. And it's a letter from Paul to Timothy. And I put this in there because I like how he started it off in the very first chapter of 2 Timothy 1 to in verse 2. He says, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1:8-10. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this, we're going to read in Titus 2:11-12. But again, I just put it in there because just as I was reading, kind of want to start from the very first chapter. I just like how this is a letter from Paul again to Titus. And he says in Titus 1:4, says, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. I just like how Paul started because he knew where grace came from. Grace didn't come from nobody else, no other apostle, no other prophet. He made sure that whenever he wrote his letter, he told them grace and peace come from only God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior. Titus 2:11-12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Once he saves us, he gives us that grace, he instructs us that we have to change our way of living. We can't keep doing the things that we did when we was of the world, because he instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Titus 2:13-14. It says, looking for the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Unmerited grace. Deuteronomy 7:6-9. It says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. Out of all the peoples who were on the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples." Eight and nine. It says, "But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." You know, he's so faithful. But we have to keep his commandments. We can't just continue to do what we want to do. You know, there's laws. We have to live by his scripture, by his word. In Deuteronomy 9, 1 through 6, "Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go into dispossessed nations greater and mightier than you, great cities, fortified cities, a people great and tall, the sons of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard, said, 'Who can stand before the sons of Anak?'" Verse 3 and 4. "Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart, 'When the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land.' But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you." 5 and 6. "It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you, in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people." Ezekiel 36, 16 through 22. Still talking about his unmerited favor. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I pour out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols." 19 and 20. "Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, 'There are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land.' But I had concern for my holy people, which the house of the Lord had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you profane among the nations where you went.'" in Romans 9, 14 through 18. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on man who wills or man who runs, or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. 17 and 18. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. Titus 3:3-7. It says, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of generation and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of the eternal. You know, because it says, go back to 3, for once we were foolish ourselves and disobedient. Just throughout the scripture, the whole, you know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, just he showed his grace over and over and over and over again. And the last thing I have, it says, we can do nothing else but conclude that God is, was, and will ever be a God of grace. You know, and I thank him for that. You know, that he's unchangeable. He doesn't change. He's faithful. He holds to his promises. And if it wouldn't be for his grace, if it wouldn't be for the cross, you know, where would we be? Where would we be if it wouldn't be for his grace? I thank him every day for his grace because it's so good. I mean, he's so good to us. And I just love him and appreciate him. And again, I just thank y'all for coming out again tonight. Torah reading Saturday. Don't forget it. It's you know, that Torah is very powerful. It's a good tool that we have. You know, learn a lot of scripture. Learn a lot about what his promises and just everything that he does. Everything that he did back then and that he does for us today. You know, he don't change. He doesn't change at all. So Torah, 6:30, then back here again Sunday morning. Thank y'all again for coming and listening. Be blessed.